So a lot of these topics, they never end. Grumma, you can go on for a year and a half with a good grumma shir. We did grumma. Machshava by Kochim is another one of those topics. And tonight, what I'm going to show you is how the chakira that we ended off last week with, that we discussed for most of the shir last week, is tied into every significant sugya and zvachim that you need. It's really, so what you're getting tonight is really some more chapter headers on what zvachim is about, as far as critical sugyas to discuss. And I posted, if you saw the blog this week, several days ago, I posted, the day after the shir last week, the list of the nafkaminas we went through when going through this topic of machshava by kachem. And you'll see, once you're done with the list, after this week, God willing, you'll have at least 10 to 12 sugyas in zvachim that are affected by our topic. So what is the chakira we're talking about? And just to get us back in the mindset, we said how there's two ways to explain, to rationalize, why stam lishma? Why do we assume by a korban that stam, an animal, is lishma? There's two ways to look at it. One, kavanas hagavra. The individual carries with him wherever he goes. We have a basic psychological assumption that by the time the kohen gets his hand in this animal, is ready to go, everything in his mind is already in place. Even if he's not explicit about it, implicitly he already knows what's going on. Then we said, no, maybe it's not about the individual. Maybe there's something unique about kachim that it's inherent in the object. Inherent in the object is this element of stama lishma, the animal. It's munach bechetza. It exists in the animal itself. And if you carry this chakira with you throughout learning zvachim, through the mishnayis even of zvachim, it clarifies a lot of the machloksim in the mishnayis itself. To give you a non-kachim example where this would apply so we could make it concrete and that it makes sense. If you turn to your packet, I think I got this one. If not, I will read it for you. I didn't put the first source. The first source is a Shalos and Shuva Zecher LeYehuda. Zecher Yehuda. Zecher Yehuda was a student of the Baal HaTanya. A lot of lumdis in that sefer, and he has in there in Simen Yud Beis, he says an interesting point. He says that when someone writes Hashem's name, Stama, in a sefer Torah, in a mezuzah, when you write Hashem's name, Bistama, he says it's kosher. Why? He says, because, by the way, that's a machlokas. If you write Hashem's name, Stam, in a Sefer Torah, when you're making it, is that good enough or not? He says the reason why you would say it's good is because no one writes the name, hey, Yud-K, Vav-K, other than to refer to God specifically. It's so clear that when you write that.
In the act of writing the whole Torah, like,
no, you could write lehis lamed ba to learn how to write. You could write to make unkedusha sefer, uniskadish sifrei Torah for kids. There are many other reasons, but you're right. The act itself, many of these acts themselves carry with it a certain.
The Torah has to be written lishma. That's the question.
The Torah needs to be lishma. I'm saying, why isn't stomach good enough?
Every time you write Hashem's name, you have to say, I'm writing it. Come on, like you start the
no.
story, you're automatically in that.
He's
zone.
Saying not. He's saying not, and he said the reason why not is because no one else writes Hashem's name down. You could look and say every line people could write for many reasons. You could write for writing your homework, you're writing it because you're giving a shir. There are many reasons why you would write every single line in the Sefer Torah that are separate from a Sefer Torah itself. But Hashem's name, when you get to writing out Hashem's name, nobody writes out Hashem's name unless you're interested in it referring to Hashem and it being in something holy.
Look, my point is you should initially have it and then it's good for the whole time.
So what if you'd had nothing? What if you went in... You
every didn't, second be thinking, oh, Kamana.
No, that's the point.
That's the point. The Zecher Yehuda is saying that even if you didn't have at the outset, I'm now sitting down for Kedushas Hashem every time I write Hashem, he's saying even without that, you're good. You're good. Why? Because no one writes the name of Hashem other than for the reason of writing the name of Hashem. Okay? So there's two ways of analyzing what he just said. There's two Hesberim in that. Hesber number one is that since the Shem Hashem is never chol, b'shum makom, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei never appears as a whole word. It never appears as a whole word. There's no such example. Elohim, you have an example. Elohim could refer to judges. So you have a whole example of Elohim. But Yud-Kei Vav-Kei never exists as a secular name. And therefore, because of it, you have a umdana, a psychological assumption that the Gavra is going in with the right kavana when he writes the name Hashem. Or you could look at it and say, like the other way we're saying with the Korban, that maybe since the Shem Hashem isn't ever chulin, it's always holy itself, it carries always the holiness, the Kedusha is munach b'cheftza, and therefore it doesn't need you to have kavana. technically speaking, because it's so clear and evident within the letter, its word itself, that it's a whole. You see, the same chakira could be applied over here. Is the kavana that we're talking about in the stam, is that in the gavra, the individual, or is that munach in the cheftza itself? There's a famous discussion. I put here some famous marmakomas. This is a this packet here you keep on the shelves along with your svarim, because it's a world famous marmakomas. The first marmakom may be the most famous no de Yehuda in all of the no de Yehuda. It's on page 2. It says page 2 at the top. Yep. The no de Yehuda talks about the nusach of l'shem yichud. Before you shake the lulav or doing any mitzvah, your sitters have that paragraph, l'shem yichud. And if you'll notice in our shul, in many shuls, when they get to the Sefiras HaOmer, we skip right over the l'shem yichud. A good litvak shul is going to skip over l'shem yichud. Okay? It's going to skip over l'shem yichud. So why? That comes from the no de Yehuda was very explicit about not saying the nusach l'shem yichud. This is the famous shaila. He says, "Al ravias asher shal benusach l'shem yichud asher chadashim mekarov nispashet v'nispat v'sidurim." It's now finding its way into many sidurim. He says, "Hinei baze ani meishiv ad shata sholani nusach hamir siyoter roy l'shol im nor." You're asking me what's the nusach to say. I'm saying it's better to ask me, is it good to say it? The one asking the Nodavi with the Charlotte said, what's the exact text we should use? He's saying, don't ask me the text we should use, ask me whether or not you should be saying it or not. But Ladaiti, and according to me, Zera'a Chole Bidarenu, there's a sickness of our generation. This Nodavi Yehuda, it's so funny to see this discussion, how it's played out in the Hasidic sources. The early Hasidic sources wanted to see everything as so beautiful. Every Baal Shem Tov, we love everything. So they would take the words of the Nodav Yehuda and give it a Hasidic twist. I've seen it before. What?
This is the worst thing that happened in the Dar that he's so upset about. Is that what
you Nodav Yehuda? He thinks it's terrible. Why? He's Ladi Zerachol B'Dareinu B'Kol Ador Shlifnei Zmanenu Shelo Yodu Menusach Zeh. You know what? It symbolized what Hasidus was doing. It was adding things that are a break from our tradition. It was just a symptom of a greater problem to the Nodav Yehuda. So this Hasidic Sfarim that will reread this to say that he loved L'Shem Yichud. Ra'a Choli, there's a sickness, they put a comma over here, he didn't mean to write it, but they really Hasidicize his, they want to be Malamet Tzchus and every Tzaddik, and everybody, which is very fascinating when they do that. So he says, Shelo Yedem Nusach Zev, Lo Amruv, Ayu Amelim Kol Yamei Torah Mitzvahs, Hakol Alpi Torah V'Alpi Poskim, people who learned day and night Torah never said this. Who are much holier than the people we have nowadays. Asher divrayim noivim mekor mayim chayim. Whose words come from a holy source. Yam ha-Talmud. Living water is a sea of Talmud. Chomas yesharim tenachem. They're the ones who we drink from. Aval bedarenu hizeh. Now in our generation, the opposite. We left Torah, and we're adding these crazy things in there. Va'al ador yosum hazeh niyomar yesharim darche Hashem. Bahar ba'yeli dar. I have so much to speak on this. But he says, Aval Keshem Shemitzvah Lomar Dovar HaNishma, just like it's a mitzvah to say things that are just going to be heard. Don't say things that no one's going to listen to. Kach Mitzvah Shelo Lomar Dovar Shem Nishma. So too, it's better for me to say things that no one's going to listen to. Hashem Yerachem Aleinu. Right? You know what? I better stay away. I better stop here because I'm about to blast the wrong people, you know, publicly. So I better stop myself here. What's the reason that he was against saying the L'Shem Yichud by a Stama Lishma? He was against... What? Oh,
the Shabbos.
Wouldn't have been on his radar. Would have been
himself. He said, this is the worst thing that's ever happened.
So, the Node of Yehuda, what? No, no, we're on. It's good. Full court press.
Die right. Can we in his
door. Oh, no, I don't know how to pause.
In his door, not in our door.
Finger over the mic. Good.
You're talking about what happened at Solo. You heard how...
The window fell in.
That they had the Sex and the City Purim Megillah reading.
Oh, yeah, and then the window fell
in. It has never happened in the history of the atrium that two window panes collapsed and rained glass and hail down on all the participants.
Wow. Yeah. Shkoyach, good hara, Mikey. Okay. Okay. So now, the reason why the Node of Yehuda says why you don't need L'Shem Yichud, why you shouldn't say L'Shem Yichud, this was his svara. He says it's going to go against the Stama Lishma. Everything has a baseline level of lishma. You start throwing in your own kavanas now, specific kavanas and fancy, you're going to start messing around with the latent lishma that's already there. You're going to mess around with the latent lishma that's already there. So why am I going here, even though it is related? His source that he wants to quote is actually, he gets it from a sugya in Zvachim. Hey, viraya masugya dezvachim. See right there? Maybe raya mireish zvachim. Shebeget tzarech sheyomar beferish sheyasa legeim gerishin. V'chein beneder gomer tzarech sheyotzi besvasov. V'anir makum shevi. He's saying they want to bring those dar shetzarech lotzim mipiv sheosa akavan al pi. So they're saying they're bringing it from the sugya in zvachim. That by a get, you have to say it's lishma. By a neder, you have to explode. He says that's what they want to prove. They want to say it's a sugya in zvachim. He looks at it the opposite. Vani Omer, mimakum shehevi raya, from the place they want to bring me a proof, from zvachim beiz amabeiz, misham hustira. That's where they're wrong. Dahare mechalek sham bein isha lekotchim. There the Gemara explicitly makes a distinction between a woman and kotchim. De isha stama lav legerishin in a menace. A woman doesn't stand to be divorced. But a lulav stands to be shaken. An esrog stands to be held with the lulav. The mitzvahs do stand. The tefillin stands to be put on l'shem kedushas tefillin. A woman is not standing to be divorced because she's standing to be married.
That's Sfira Somer. You can't say that there's a chetza that stands to be.
You're here with the nusach habracha in front of you. You're about to make the bracha. The bracha itself is what focuses you. You don't put a l'shem yichud to change the stama lishma. He thinks the sugya and zvachim itself, the one that they want to point to as their proof, is fakir to proof against them. Fascinating. The same sugya and zvachim is this whole fight in the Noda B'Yehuda. It was a huge fight. This whole fight in the Noda B'Yehuda is all surrounding how to understand our sugya and zvachim. How to understand.
So why did Litvish Siddurim publish it?
What? It made it. Nispashet Aminag. He doesn't even say the Chassidim. But he doesn't say the Chassidim here. He says, L'shem Yichasher Chadash Mekarav Nitpashet V'Nispashet V'Siddurim. It made it into everywhere already. Until the Noda B'Yehuda spoke up, whoever was speaking up.
I think today, Archroll runs with it.
Yeah. A lot of
Rabbi Rakefet, you know, from Israel, always says that, and people don't realize it, the Litvish Gedolim nowadays all became Hasidic Rebbes. Already from Rav Hutner and on, they were already Hasidic Rebbes in many ways. The way you operate it, and the way it's all become integrated. Yeah, what? And the Chassidim, right, and because the Satmar Rav said, the words of the Baal Shem Tov now don't apply in our generation. Yeah. So they got, the Chassidim became Litvaks, and the Litvaks became Chassidim. All right, that's what happened. So that's what we got in there. You won't find it in the L'Shem Yichud anymore in the Chassidish. No. So, but it all's Mishka Babel now. So now.
Even if it's not necessary, I don't see why it takes away the Lishma.
What?
Why does it take away the Lishma?
He thinks if the Gedolim in the previous generation didn't want a Mafriya, the Kavana you already had in the Mitzvah, why are we adding and changing something which is already Munach Bechefza, which is already there? You start playing around your Kavanas, you're going to have the wrong Kavana. Someone thinks the reason for this Mitzvah is X and Y, and they're going to start thinking that L'Shem Yichud.
That's precisely the reason why you have the L'Shem Yichud.
Right. Good. And the Be'er Mayim Chaim.
So that you're actually delineating. Here's why I'm doing it.
Right. I think Dafka, because we're... You're right. I think Dafka, because we're not in that generation of the holy people, our Kavana is off, and therefore L'Shem Yichud is a good way to
so
align.
It says that the baseline Kavana is missing.
What the baseline? That's right. That's what we would argue. That's what he would argue.
How many people are gonna
Chassidus or anti-Chassidus?
Unclear.
He wasn't pre-Chassidus. He was. No, the Behuda was already.
He was way post.
Like when?
1700s. He was already well into the Zitichover already. Late 1700s. Right. So now.
But even according to wrong.
Right before the Chasm Sofer, yeah.
But even according to what the Rebbe says, he would have to agree that in some situations it is okay to have the Shem Yichud. So for example, in Pesach, in the Lashem Yichud, have the Shem Yichud.
I'm sure the Litvish Gedolim were fans of the Shem Yichud. I can't imagine, again, it wouldn't have made it into the article.
They were okay, because the Levavis is all say it.
Oh, they all say it.
But even according to Skakira, that it's the Hefza or not the Hefza,
real
over there you have to agree that, you know, a stem cup of wine is not is not nothing special. So, you know, it happens to be on the Seder, so
right,
maybe there
should be said. So those that argue, playing off of Yair, those that argue for L'Shem Yichud, for example, the Be'er Mayim Chaim, Reb Chaim at Chernovitz, the great Hasidic Rebbe, the Be'er Mayim Chaim says that you can't compare kochim. He says, "Ein litmus kochim." Don't compare kochim, litmus kochim, to rest of mitzvahs. Why? The shiny kochim shekvar niskaven habaylim b'shas hafrasha. When they separated the animals and spent all this money, at that moment there was a clear intent from the beginning. But over here, by a stam mitzvah, there wasn't what he coins this phrase, a shas hakavana. There wasn't a shas hakavana. And therefore, it makes sense as the Be'er Mayim Chayim why we do say L'Shem Yichud. You can't compare it to Kachim. Don't look at Kachim. Kachim, there was a Shasa Kavana. This is different. There's no Shasa Kavana. I'll say real quickly because it's not part of our discussion, but those who want to understand the Machlokis on another level, what are they really arguing about? So one way is like we do. Is it Munach Bechetzah? Is it not Munach Bechetzah? Gavra, like we just understood. Others say that what they're really fighting about is the Nod of Yehuda saying you need to just have Kavana that you're being Osek in a Mitzvah Hashem. Others are saying, no, you need to have kavana on the to'elis of the mitzvah, the purpose of the mitzvah. You need more. That's what they're arguing about. That's one way to look at the machlokas.
The first argument really is just a read on whether there's baseline kavana or
baseline.
Not.
Is it munach already in the chetzah?
I'm conjuring a mitzvah. There's no specificity. I'm reminding myself I'm about to do a mitzvah.
Excellent.
Blanketly.
Excellent. Yes, exactly. And the other way of looking at it is, maybe the machlokas is according to the Nod of Yehuda, that we don't need to have kavana. What do you need to have kavana for the inyanim hanistarim, the deeper side, the Kabbalistic side? That's the issue here. That's what he's fighting about, and that's what the real machlokas is. Okay, there are many ways of looking at this fight. Yeah,
it's problematic from the Nod of Yehuda because if it's a question of whether I have requisite specificity, I'm readying myself to do a mitzvah, then failure to do so would sort of be equivalent of saying there is no automatic or assumed kavana to the mitzvah. And so for failure to do L'Shem Yichud before any kind of mitzvah would basically
That's what you're
it...
saying. That's the problem that Nod of Yehuda has with everybody else.
Right.
He's like, very good. That's a great way of saying it. Heard that? What's the problem? Say the L'Shem Yichud. It's focusing us more. What the Nod of Yehuda could be saying, beautiful, is that stama lishma by most mitzvahs. It's good. There's a munach b'chefza lishma. When you make the need to say L'Shem Yichud because you're saying that I've lost what the kavanah is about, and then you skip it, you've then told people that since they didn't have the kavanah, they've missed the mitzvah. That's what I'm going
to say. Every meeting you ever go to, the guy says, let me tell you the truth. You know the guy's lying to you all the rest of the time. It's the same sort of concept.
Right.
Again, that's the point. Like, okay, you can make a bracha before you have a drink. You don't need kavanah. But to eat matzah, the problem is that the ignorant person on the street goes to a seder, eats matzah, he doesn't know why he's doing it.
Okay, we're going
to
talk about matzah tonight. We're going to talk about matzah.
But didn't make a bracha to begin with, the ignorant.
There are lots of different kavanas.
Right, we're going to talk about that. Okay. 100%. Let levels of kavana and lishma.
Which is why certainly they require
some people dabble with the kavanos of the Rashash, I think.
Yeah, and they put Arizal kavanos, Vilna Gaon kavanos, the Son of Siddur, the Vilna
Gaon. All these different kavanos.
Yehudim they're called. Different Yehudim. Don't contradict the stama that's there. Good. All right. That's the machlokas. You can play it any which way you want and try to. You can read the whole. I put the whole Nod of Yehuda there. So you have it all there. You can take a look. What I wanted to do with this was now take us to another Mar Mukum that is so critical. It is such a critical Mar Mukum. It's on page 4. I'm skipping over a famous Mar Mukum, which we are going to get back to. I will give that one to you. It is a classic Mar Mukum. The one I will come back to. Am I going to come back? Okay, I have the Esvan der Reise. Esvan der Reise was written by Rav Yosef Engel. It's one of the classic Achronische Svarim. It's up there. If you make the top, I always make my list, my top 15, top this. I don't know which number it's in, but it's a mega safer. There's such massive lumdus that comes out of it. And what he does is he shows you how critical our discussion is of Lishma, that he says the following. Od yesh lomar, lefi masha kosef harishonim, de be'emes lekule alma, everybody agrees, mitzvah tzrichas kavana. Ella demanda amar de ain't. What's the reason for the opinion that holds mitzvahs don't need kavana? The opinion that holds that mitzvahs don't need kavana. Listen to what he says. He's the first to make this link. Mishum dahave kachim. It's like kachim. Dinehi de beinan bahu machshava lishma im kolze gam bastam stam lishma. Beautiful. You know what he's saying? He's saying the reason according to the opinion that says you don't need kavana. Why would there be opinion that says you don't need kavana by a mitzvah? Everyone up until the Esvan deraisa said, you know why? Because that opinion holds you don't need kavana. You don't need kavana, it's an extra part of a mitzvah. According to him, he's like, God forbid, you need to know what you're doing. But you know why you don't need kavana? Because there's already a stam lishma. There's already a lishma implicit in what you're doing. You don't need to be totally overtly conscious. It's such a fundamental machlokas. The opinion that says mitzvahs don't need kavana, is it because they literally understand that you mamish don't need kavana? Or is it, no, not that, you need kavana, but the reason you don't need kavana is because implicitly, subconsciously or whatever, there's a stama lishma. He's the first one to link the idea of kavana being because there's a lishma already there. The reason why you don't need kavana, according to those who say mitzvahs don't need kavana, is because there is a lishma already there. And that's, he wants
isn't
to...
Isn't it a machlokas by Kutchin?
What?
So we're at, we, was it two weeks ago? We went over the... It's real machlokas in Kutchin as to whether it's stumma lishma or not.
No, stumma lishma is clear. It's the issue is where. But stumma lishma, the Gemara says stumma lishma by Kutchin is good. Stumma lishma is good. It's a, the first Mishnah, when it says that it's ruining things, that's a negative
we
lishma.
We just didn't know...
That's a negative lishma. No, the Mishnah is a negative lishma, not a stumma. The Mishnah is a negative. So now, what he does is as follows. This beautiful lumdis. There's a machlokas whether or not anti-kavana is worse than no kavana. So he says like this. If the pshat in the opinion that says that you don't need kavana is that literally you don't need kavana, so anti-kavana is no worse. You don't need kavana. Who cares that I had anti-kavana? I don't need kavana. So why do we assume anti-kavana is worse? Basically, we assume because the pshat in the opinion that says mitzvahs ain't srichas kavana is not that you don't need kavana. It was just munach already there. The lishmo was there, and therefore, when you have anti-kavana, you did something much worse. You killed the lishmo that was sitting already there, whether it's the animal, whether it's the object. Well, you took away the koloroi labila. I'm back to last week. Excellent. You took away that potential. The reason why you didn't need kavanah is koloroi labila. You didn't need it. Beautiful. And you've killed it now because it was latent, subconscious, and you destroyed it.
Where do you get the power to do that?
What?
Where do you get the power to do that?
We see the machshav. The mind has abilities, like we saw the second shir with dvarim shebelev ein dvarim. When is it dvarim? It's only when it contradicts. But we saw what level. The machshava has the ability to do things. So that's the yisod of the esvan de'araisa. That's the yisod of the esvan de'araisa. That you need some baseline. A proof to him, by the way, is a very nice proof. You know what his proof is? The Rambam says, if kofu parsim, if the Persians forced you to eat matzah, and you ate it on Pesach night, you're yotze. It's a famous Rambam, contradicts Shofar. Your famous Rambam, you're yotze. If they forced you to eat matzah, you're yotze. The Magen Mishnah says, why don't you take a much simpler case? Take the case where you mamish had nothing in mind, where you had a matzah in your hand. You were totally zoned out, and you put matzah in your mouth. Why didn't the Rambam take that? Why use this case, even though the Gemara has it, of the banded Persians who came and forced you to eat the matzah? So what is this? He discusses why the Rambam went with this case. So the Esvan d'Araisa says, you know why the Rambam went with this case? Because he's showing you that there's still, everyone agrees, even those who say mitzvahs don't eat kavana, you need something there. You need something. Something's got to be there. And taking a case where you're totally excellent, misasik, when you're totally absent, no one was flying, that's misasik. But here, when you were made to eat it, you knew what's going on. You know the score. You know it's Pesach. You know that you know what's going on. You might not have kavana, but you know what's going
on.
Kofu Parsim says Kofu Parsim lachol matzah. Persians forced him to eat matzah Pesach night. He's yotze. The Rambam paskins by shofar that you're not yotze. You don't have kavana. What?
Does the Gemara say why that would happen?
It goes into discussion. It's a Srikas Kavanah. It's a Sain Srikas Kavanah.
But why the... I'm sure the case is very strange.
No, anti-Semitism. The Persians are out. Anti-Semitism.
It's probably just a turn of phrase.
Yeah, it also goes... Because the point is the logic of it. You know, the logic of something that you didn't intend to do. That's the point. It's a good prototype case for something you didn't intend to do. Okay, so that's the...
I'm confused about it.
What?
If they said that they made you eat bread, I would understand. That they made you eat what you were planning on eating... Eat what's got on the table there.
Eat that cake, Jew. I don't know. Forget if the case ever happened or not. It's getting at the chakira. It's getting at the issue of whether mitzvahs need kavana. That's it. The Rishonim point out that a dafka mean a goy. Is that what it's trying to get at? There's a goy here imposing the mitzvah, and they want to connect it to a get, where a kfiya baget is a goy allowed to enforce you to give a get to your wife, or does it need to be dafka Jews who enforce the get? They all connect to that. All these discussions come around and around.
Is the guy's mindset.
What? Gemara doesn't say. That's what he's trying to figure out. He knows, since he knows, a lot of there's 15 answers why it's good by matzah. One, because the eating is such a physical act, it pulls you into the right kavana, versus shofar, which is just the listening, the shmiya. There's so much raid on that.
Is there a shear of matzah?
Yeah. What? Bala matzah, right. Right. Machlokas of whether when it goes, hanas gorano and all that, is that enough? The hanas gorano pulled you in, the fact that you got benefit from it. Okay. Wow, we have our answer. Maybe the question I posed in the Minchas Chinashir 3 weeks ago, why by matzah, if you keep eating matzah more than a kezias, many sources indicate you get more schar. But on the other hand, when it comes to blowing shofar, once you finish the shofar blowing, you keep blowing, it's done. There's no more mitzvah for blowing and blowing and blowing the shofar. The difference could be somewhere there. No, that by achila, the hana is continuing. It's continuing. All right, there's a tziruf because the hana is continuing you. All right, we'll leave it for now. Now, so that's, again, you see this machlokas, this issue of stama lishma pulls us over into Kavanaville, Asked one deraisa's great proof is from that Rambam, why he chose the case dafka, why the Gemara chose it, and why he didn't go with the more simple case. So what the Esvan Deraisa is doing in effect is comparing Kavana and Lishma. Kavana and Lishma. Who does not like that comparison? If anybody asks you at a wedding, tell me a Birkas Shmuel. Okay? Who is the Birkas Shmuel? What? Rav Baruch Ber. Is it Rav Baruch Ber? Rav Baruch Ber. Branovich Yeshiva. So Branovich, no? Kamenetz? Who was in Baranovich? Was or Shmuel Rozovsky? No, it was Shmuel Rozovsky or Shmuel Rozovsky? Rochana Wasserman. I'm going to get to him too tonight also. Okay, so the Birka Shmuel, if someone asks you what's the most famous piece in the Birka Shmuel, this is arguably it. Right here. This is arguably it. This piece in the Birka Shmuel is back on page 3. The wrong wedding. Maybe I'm at the wrong wedding. All right. Yeah. It comes through your pores, this stuff now, no? Like, it's like
the oil on
it.
Yeah.
Right?
You can do it out of the sauna. Your idea.
Oh, where is your stuff? Okay.
I think it's because we're sitting on the top of the head.
Like drunk on Indian food. I'm trying to read a Baruch Bear while I'm Indian food. This is the first, by the way. It's the first Kachim Shir eating Indian food.
Sure.
But number two, it's the first time a Baruch Bear was ever learned over Kachim, over Indian food. I'm guaranteeing you. It's the first. Kachim might have learned like this. I don't know. What?
I'm sure he never ate.
Yes. Okay.
We had specific Kavana
for this. Bottom of page 3. This is such a famous piece in Rabarach Ber. V'nirei dehina matzinu dine lishma b'torah. We find the din of lishma in the Torah. By get, korbanos, sefer Torah, tfilin, mezuzas, tzitzis, ukadome. U'matzinu gamkein dine kavana. We also find the dinim of kavana in the Torah. Kagon basias mitzvah, leman dar mitzvah, strichas kavana. That you need to know. So we need to find out. Tzarech ledat, mahu din lishma, mahu din kavana. What's lishma? What's kavana? Now we saw the Esvan Deraisa said they're one and the same. What's he saying here? V'nira de din lishma shebetorah, have a din asiya. It's a din in the act of making, of doing. Could go and get and korbanos. That you need an asiya. This is lishma, not kavana. You need an action by a get and korbanos and say for tilin umezuzas uchedome. By doing something lishma, it becomes something. It becomes a get. It becomes a korban. It becomes a sefer Torah. And therefore, hatzricha hator dalia asiya lishma have a get uchedome. And without an asiya lishma, you haven't made a get. What he's saying is lishma is a creator. Lishma is a creative power. It creates a get. It creates a korban. It's a creative power. That's what lishma is. Aval din kavana, gabe asiya samitzva, isn't a creator. It isn't a former. De ne'amar de'al yedeze shemechave nasa achila achilas matzah, ubelo kavana lo nasa. You don't say that without kavana by matzah. Oh, it's not matzah. It's still matzah. We don't care. You didn't create the matzah when eating matzah by eating it without kavana. It already is a matzah. Uba lo kavana, lo nasa cheftza shal chilas chilas matzah. That's not true. De eino din asiya, elo o din dahave ba mitzvah, shebelo ze, rebelav ze eino yotze. It's a rule that without kavana, you're not yotze. But it doesn't mean the object wasn't in front of you. The object is there. Lishma is a creator. Kavana is a detail that you need in order to be yotzei a mitzvah, not to create a chetzah. The chetzah is already there. The object is there. You don't say, because I didn't have kavana, it's not a matzah. It's a matzah. But by a get, if you didn't have lishma, it ain't a get. It's not a get. It's a paper that looks like a get, but it's not a get, unless you had in mind l'shem to be given to this woman, to be written to give to this woman. Well, that's Rav Baruch Ber. That's his specialty. Doc is a split. Yeah, what's the nafkamina? Who cares?
Split.
You need a nafkamina.
The guy writes out a get. I'm divorcing Magega.
Yeah.
It's a get.
I'll say it's lishma. That's the lishma, he'll say.
Well,
so
you
now,
could say it's not an active get until he does the action of giving it to her, but it's still a get. Between
it's a get. Why would he write out I'm divorcing?
It's a real living get once he has that in mind. Without that in mind, it's not a real get. It's a paper with people's names that talk about divorce, but it ain't the get. Nafkamina. Okay? You help me understand this one. Nafkamina, seven lines to the bottom.
You know what? It's not altogether different than Sefer Torah.
Because just as far as stomach, as far as stomach, they all need lishma. Just by getting lishma and korban needs lishma, the reason why you don't need the asiyah lishma is because we assume it's already munach in the chetzer.
Right, but he's not saying, he doesn't seem to be saying that.
He's saying,
or he's saying, that the asiyah is the fact that it's munach.
That's munach chetzer. That you can have stomach, it's already there, but you need it.
Right, right. So he's defining that from things that should be kavana.
Yeah, essentially he's lumping them together here, but they are the same as far as lishma. You know, the Gemara is separating them in far as the, good.
I have a question. On Shabbos, do we have an issue with lishma by Malach Shabbos? Like, Malach Shabbos seems like it might require lishma in order for a malacha to be a Malach Shabbos.
But we talk about the mezasek, right? When we do Malach Shabbos by Shabbos, you need a conscious act.
Do we need? Is there a din on lishma on Shabbos?
I don't think so. By Shabbos, not necessarily lishma.
Why not?
Malach Shabbos is considered to be that there's an awareness. That's the definition of Malach Shabbos. You know what you're doing. Malach Shabbos means I'm conscious of what I'm doing.
But let's say you're sleepwalking.
It's purposeful.
So if you're sleepwalking,
it's all purposeful. No, but it's all right. This doesn't count. You didn't violate Shabbos.
But let's say you're not misasik. Let's say you're just stam kavana.
Malach Shabbos also, it's like kavana. It's more like kavana. Yeah, Malach Shabbos means kavana.
Yeah,
had a different yudarim. But Malach Shabbos is like kavana.
Still a malacha, you know, even if you do it.
Right, still malacha, not the kavana. You're not held accountable for it. Perfect. Perfect, thank you. So now he says that, what's the nafkamina? Who cares? What's the difference? Whether lishma is a creator and the other one is just a detail. So he says, the nafkamina, hu bein din asiya lishma, hu bein din kavana, is, for example, im choshev al tanai v'safek. You do something on condition. You make a stipulation. If this is my last matzah of the night, this will be my afikom. The whole abdenezer stipulation of katzot. You make any stipulation. If this is the sphere, so much account for this night. Whatever stipulation you make by a mitzvah. De'im bedin lishma. By a din of lishma, your thinking on a conditional stipulation is not going to work. Because you need to have put the specific focus that it needs to be to create the object. So if I think, if I want a divorce today, you know, my wife, you know, Zundel, that's a man's name, my wife Yentl, then it divorced the wife Yentl. Or if I'm feeling it today, she kills it with breakfast, I'm going to divorce my other wife, Yetl. So you can't make that tonight. That doesn't work. It doesn't create the object of a get. The get needs to be created for someone. That's the lishma. But by kavana?
But that's in the din of get. If you write Yetl, it's not shma.
Right, the details are. But take any mitzvah where you can go either way with it. Where you can go either way with it as far as what you're doing in a lishma. This, if it's, if...
It's not any mitzvah. It's written instruments and or korbanos.
Right. Right.
The only two areas where it's ever going
to... Where you need lishma to create it? Any other examples besides written instruments and
It's only going to be because that's what remains afterwards and other people can't have das or the kavana.
Tzitzis. Making the matzah. Making the matzah needs lishma. Making the matzah needs lishma.
But all those are the same real thing, right? Because the person who comes by afterwards sees matzah, it looks like matzah. You see a get that it was written without kavanah, it looks like a get. A sefer Torah written like kavanah, it looks like a sefer Torah. Each of those things...
It needs to create a certain... You're saying because else people won't realize what it is. I'm sure we could find something that would break that rule. We have to think about it. But maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. He's saying the difference here, the major nafkamina between the two, I don't know how major, but the major nafkamina between the two is al-tanai. On tanai, this lishma business is not going to work al-tanai. Kavana will work in tonight. It's enough of a mindset to keep you in the game for kavana, but it's not enough to create a chepta.
Come on, there are places where you can get out tonight. Gemara goes on and on with this, etc. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not.
So you have to look at the end of the sugya.
I really think this.
You have to look at the end of the sugya. If we know the good, look at. Mr. Banks, do me a favor. Look at the sugyas in Gittin where they talk about Shnei Yosef ben Shimon Be'erachas.
Right.
And tell me if at the end of the day, was it okay to have it go either or? I think you needed a specific lishma there. I think that's the conclusion of the sugya. I think so. That would be a nafkamina, but the split is interesting enough to show you that it disagrees with the Esvan Deraisa. For the Esvan Deraisa, lishma and kavana are the same. For Rabbarach Be'er, kavana and lishma are distinct. One is a creator. One is an intent, specific intent you need when you're doing something. They're going to be different. Okay, let's get back. Let's get more focused, a little bit back on track to where we are. Now, one more example, and then we'll stay kachim focused all the way to the end of the shir. And the other example is machine-made tzitzis. Machine-made tzitzis. If you look at the bottom, I have from the Eretz Tzvi is the Kodja Glover. He was a Hasidic posek before the war. A great lamdan before the war, very big lamdan, and he says b'chidan b'tzitzis hanasim b'machuna. That's made by a machine. V'yesh chashash lo lishma, and there's a suffix of whether or not that's a real lishma or not. So I yesh inyan michshal limkor l'rabim. Is there a problem of selling it to the masses? right? Is it stumbling block? Or is there maybe a problem of bracha levatala? And he answers and says, Ein chashash le'inyan lifnei iver u'bracha levatala. Why? Kevan d'yesh k'tzas mitzvah. Since there's somewhat of a mitzvah there, it's similar to zvachim, which are kosher, ela d'lo alu labailim l'shem chova. Remember, if you have the wrong machshava by kachim, it still could potentially be kosher, it just didn't count for the owner for their mitzvah.
No, he's saying that by the tzitzis.
He's applying that zvachim, that kachim, to the tzitzis.
Can you wear them on Shabbos?
What?
Can you wear them?
Why?
Or without neir. Like, briskers don't wear...
Right. What's the relationship? Oh, you're saying these, which are the Suffolk ones. Mm-hmm. You're saying, would he wear these Suffolk ones? I think his point is that it's totally kosher. I think it's totally kosher because the lishma, what he's saying,
he's
I believe...
saying the mitzvah of lishma is a mitzvah on the person that's making it, but it's not something that's inherent.
If he's fine with the tzitzis, he's saying it's inherent and it's fine. That's why I don't need the gavra to really have kavana here. The reason why tzitzis are fine is because just like korbanos, there's an element that is in the animal itself, regardless of the individual. So you can claim I got a machine making these tzitzis. I don't care. The cheftza itself carries with it a certain sense of lishma.
So there's nothing chaser in these tzitzis?
He's saying they're chaser because he's comparing it to lo al labailim. Since he's comparing it to lo alu labailim, he's saying it's not perfect, but it's nothing wrong with making a bracha.
When is the kohen alu labailim?
What?
If the kohen
shinai machshava, the kohen has in mind for the wrong owner.
Well, that's different than the machine, right? If the kohen has nothing in his head and just goes through emotions, we're saying that that's alu labailim, right?
What?
Because we say if a kohen
if he has zero in his mind, it's alu labailim.
Establishment. A machine. So that's more about the machine. Machine just goes through emotions.
He's saying this is worse than stum because you don't have a human here. He's going through a machine.
The person who programmed the machine had intent the first time.
All right, that's part of the suffix. He says suffix. That's part of the suffix. Does the guy count? Is he considered his action of pressing the kaftor, the button? Is that part of the kavana?
No, I think that given is compare korban machines. If you say that the stamp is on the hefsa, then you can compare korban and machine because the hefsa is the korban, is the animal, or the tzitzit. If you say the stamp is... You know, stam the person, even though he's going through emotions, there's like something...
I think what he's saying is that the stam is in the object itself. That's exactly it. It's in the object. That's exactly what I think he's doing. I brought this just to show you how this one line in the Mishnah in Zvachim, lo al labailim l'shem chova, was suddenly extended outside the realm of kachim. It's amazing. These little things that are in kachim and Zvachim.
But it is all labailim l'shem chova. If the Kohen doesn't think about anything, it is all labailim l'shem chova. It's only when he thinks negative... It's still a good korban.
But here this is worse. He's saying you don't even have a gavra here. Even the ones that hold that it's munach in the chefza,
we just said that it's got to be that he holds that it's on the chefza.
But even if you hold it's in the chefza, the korban, you still need a gavra to create the maisa. Everyone agrees. You can't just say, oh, because it's in the chefza, therefore if the animal somehow were to get itself shechted and be done, it's a good kachim. No. Everyone agrees you still need a participant to do things. You need a gavra to do things. A chefza gavra machlokas doesn't eliminate the gavra. It just says that the focus is the chefza. And that's relevant for dinim of kavana for everything else we're saying, although they're nafkamim.
And maybe we're acquiring the gavra.
Yeah.
Right? Otherwise, you'd be able to make shechita machines.
Okay, let's go. Let's continue next. Next, I wanted to show you is the chakira relating back to our Mishnah. Now we make it applicable to kachim. Our Mishnah has two levels in zvachim. Our Mishnah has kosher, but it doesn't count for the owner for his thing. And then there's pusel, totally no good.
Right.
Totally no good. So I was thinking like this. Based on everything we're saying, these two lines fit perfectly with both tracks. To reach the first level, which is lo alu labailim l'shem chova, kosher, but lo alu l'shem chova, that's a more basic level of lishma that's in the animal itself. Therefore, even if you as a gavra mess up, it's still, while it doesn't work to count for me as the gavra, it's still kosher because there's a lishma existing in it. But if I wanted to do more than that, i.e. bring me kapara, atonement, or whatever else I wanted it to be, that's going to need my lishma, the gavra. You see how last week I was posing it that it's either in the cheftz or it's in the gavra. This opening Mishnah could be saying that it's both. As far as the level of kosher, avalo, alu labalim, l'shem chova, that's enough that it's in the chefza, the stam alishma. But for you to actually get kapara from it, me, I need forgiveness, it's going to need you to give me more. It's going to need you to have the lishma, that it's got to be in the gavra itself. I think these two sides...
You meaning the client.
You're the client. I, to achieve it for the baal. You're the shliach of the baal. I think that's then saying that you need it on you. This chefza gavra machlokas is not a machlokas now. It's two levels. It's two levels in how Kachim understands the korban itself.
You can argue about this.
Pesach Tzatzis. Go ahead.
You can argue.
Yeah.
Why do I get nailed that I wasn't yotzei my chayv? I sent you as a shliach, but the kunichidati chalavah lavasi.
You could sue him. You could sue him in the Gemara.
I sent the guy to do a shliach. You screwed up, and I didn't.
It doesn't. But that doesn't help you from getting forgiveness, because at the end of the day, meaning, you were supposed to give into my system, you're a doctor. You were supposed to pump into my system this medicine. You pumped the wrong one. The fact that I sue you doesn't help me that I got the wrong medicine. I still got the wrong medicine. The Gemara is discussing whether, exactly, Hezek, do I get damages from what you did as a Kohen?
But
the fact that I should achieve Kapara, when at the end of the day...
I sent you with good intentions. You
ain't Hakanami. It's like the doctor...
Yeah, so you're entitled to damages.
You're entitled to damages. But it's like the doctor who messes up on your behalf. Yeah, I got nailed. You do get nailed. That's exactly it. So now...
can you pick your Kohen? Does it work that way?
What? Well, Makire Kahuna, this is a sugi also we have to. Makire Kahuna.
Tova
Sana, there's something. We're going to see something called Tova Sana. You picking the Kohen and all that, we're going to talk about that.
But then it should be enough for me between different Kabbalahs, some that achieve Kabbalah.
Yes, that's what I want to say next. Excellent.
That would be a lot.
Why by a Chatas and a Pesach, Korban Pesach, suddenly there with a faulty Lishma, it's absolutely puzzle. What's the Svara there? I thought the Svara there is because those animals only value. Is kapara and ritzoi. Their whole value was their ends of what they're achieving kapara.
There's no value in the achila.
The achila was just the way to consume. Certainly. The korban pesach. The achila was to achieve this level of what was supposed to happen to you on pesach.
The Torah was to forgive you forgiveness.
That was the purpose of the korban. The achila, you're right, might be a separate mitzvah. But the purpose was the forgiveness that you're supposed to achieve. Without that, you've done nothing. And I think that's why it's different on that level. Okay, let's extend this. How much more time we got? Okay, we can do it. 6 minutes. Let's extend this to another level now.
A korban toda is actually like a lo al lebalim toda. I think it's lo al lebalim, but it's kosher.
So you have to ask why. The whole purpose is to show gratitude, and you didn't show it. That might be the whole. But I need to think about that. I just thought of that right before. Hold on. You remind me that I have to write that down to think about. Okay. So now, the next area where this applies is what about a public korban versus a private korban?
Can I ask you a quick question?
Oh, yeah,
clarification
shoot.
Point. Just good. In terms of the chatas versus the pesach, going back to Mikey's question, so I can understand from the chatas that maybe you didn't get the actual sin, but for the pesach, isn't the mitzvah the actual eating of it?
No, I think on a basic level, the mitzvah is a separate. There's two mitzvahs. Maybe that's part of our topic next week. That there's two mitzvahs there. There's the offering of the animal, and there's the achilas kachim.
Does anyone count them separately?
The achilas kachim. That's next week.
Okay.
That's next week. Okay, hold me for
okay,
next
so
week.
So you would still be fine on the achilas side, but on the actual
on the act maybe not.
Side.
Yeah, maybe not. Okay. Gotcha. Now, what about a private korban versus a public? Okay, the Rambam in the Perush HaMishnayos, page 5. Rambam in the Perush HaMishnayos says that the rule of lo alu labailim, that it doesn't count when you have the wrong thought, doesn't count, but it is still kosher, that's dafka by a korban yachid, by a private korban. But by a korban sibur, here's a new line to know for kachim. Sakin mushchasan lamashahein. Sakin mushchasan lamashahein. What that means is as follows. Like this. Sakin mushchasin is that when it comes to things that belong to the public, the Beis Din decides what it's for at the moment of drawing the knife. That's when they decide. Everything else is bonus up until then. At the moment when they decide, sakin mushchasin is the moment the Beis Din decides what this animal actually is. The classic example of this is when everyone used to give their machzis ha-shekel to the Beis HaMikdash. So it was all supposed to go for the daily offerings, the korban tamid, the daily offerings, the public daily offerings. What if there was too many? They gave too much machzah shekel, more than they could do. So those extra would go... The kayetzah mizbeach. Another good kachem term. Kayetzah mizbeach means there was way too much. So you know what that would turn into? It would turn into a korban ola, a burnt offering. So let's say last second they decide, oh, we're going to make this a korban ola. We have too much money. How did they get the right to decide that last second? It was given as a Korban Tamid. It was given for the Korban Tamid. No, because that's the idea. The Beis Din, on a public level, they get to decide at the last minute what this
not
should be
the
for.
Kohen, though.
What?
Assumedly, you have a Kohen who's up in the Mizbeah.
That's what it means. The Kohen, yeah. I think, functioning, or the Beis Din, the Lishka Gazis,
well,
get to form the Kohen.
You can take this all the way back. It means that he, Vadai, has a baseline Kavana for Korban and Vinigmar Davar. If they could decide remotely, they're down in the peanut gallery deciding what the status of this animal is, and he's doing the shechita, if he has to have a specific kavanah...
I don't have the answer for you of whether when it says the basin decides, meaning the Kohen, or whether or not they walk over and tell him, or whether it means what you're supposed to say.
As he's going, he's just having a kavanah for a korban.
I don't know. I will look at the sugya. The main sugya of Sakin Mushchasin is Zvachim, Vavim, and Beis. I'll look at it again. It's a great question if we're understanding it right. So, good. Excellent. So the Rambam says that when it comes to a private korban, if they have a mistake in the lishma, you're right. Lo alu labail in the shem chova, but it's kosher. But when it comes to a korban sibur, it's going to be fine, even though they messed up along the way, because sakin mushchasin, the Beis Din, or i.e. the Kohen, can decide last second what it's for anyways. Whatever the owner did originally. It's a public offering. By public offerings, you could decide last second. I'm not going to show you now that goes against another Rambam. Some say he backed out of that in the Mishnah Torah. Our purpose for that is just to apply it to everything we're saying. The difference between a Korban Yachid and a Korban Sibur. You see that the Etzem Kashrus HaKorban, the basic Kashrus of the Korban, is already residing in the animal itself. It's already residing in the animal itself. You just need the Kavana Sagavra, the individual Kavana over there, to achieve the more higher specific level of what it needs to do. But when the Beis Din is supplanting the mindset of the people, when they're replacing the mindset of the people, they could add that Gavra element that the animal needs at the last second, and therefore you're good to go on both levels. That's the main explanation of why there should be a difference between a Korban Yachid and a Korban Yachid and a Korban Sibur. Let's do another example. Okay, we're going to learn something else.
You never have a problem by a Korban Sibur, presumably.
What's that?
You never have a problem by Korban Sibur in terms of Lishma, because
only anti
always
be right.
Fixes your...
My guess would be only anti. My guess would be only anti.
Michael
said, what?
You
get pigle, right? Machshavah Shalom is mano. Because that's a faulty time. That doesn't work. That's a non-kosher thought.
Right.
Or Machshavah Zara. Machshavah Zara. Okay.
And
yeah.
Beis Din can't fix any Machshavah. They can't fix Zman, obviously. But
you can't fix it. Machshavah Zavodah Zara. Once you think Avodah Zara, you're done. The Korban's over.
Well, if you're saying that, then it's not the Kohen's Das, the Beis Din's Das.
Right. I don't know if the Beis Din here means the Kohen himself. Maybe it means the Kohen himself. Maybe it means the Kohen himself. Not sure. I don't know. I have to check. So one more application is another rule about Kachim. It's something called Kol HaOse Al Das Rishona. Kol HaOse Al Das Rishona. There's a sefer called the Sefer Zevach Todah. He writes as follows. Page 5. The Shachat Shelo Lishma Shar Avodas Aser La'asosam Bistama. The Aldas Rishonahin. Beautiful idea. If you shechted the animal Shalolishma, right? So meaning, you did part of the process Shalolishma, you can't now say, remember you're supposed to continue, in a type of animal that you continue with, a kosher one, like a regular shlomim, where you're supposed to just finish your animal and it's kosher, it just didn't count for what you needed. In that type of thing, where you thought Shalolishma, listen to what he's saying. What he's saying is, stomach is gone. You can't even be stam anymore. Remember how Kachim used to have stam alishma? You've killed the stam alishma, says the Zevach Todah. You've lost your ability to just rely on... Once you had a faulty makshava at the beginning, your stam alishma is gone. You need to now replace it with something more specific and valuable. Why did you lose it? Why did you lose it? Because it's... Why did you lose it? Because you've taken away the baseline thought by you having a negative thought at the beginning. So how am I applying this to our Chakira? The Sfas Emes says it straight out. He says, what about your subsequent offerings after that? Let's say you ruined it over there. What about, you ruined the first animal. What about your subsequent animals? He goes back and forth. Why is he going back and forth? It's exactly this machlokas. If the lishma is in the object... If it's in the object, then just because I messed up one object doesn't mean I messed up the all future objects. But if it's in the gavra, if I blew it once, it's showing that my umdina, me as an individual, my psychology is off. when I deal with korbanos, and therefore I'm going to need a stoma each time I deal with it, because kol ha'osa al das rishonosa, everything goes back after your initial act, and your initial act ruined it for the future. You can no longer rely on stoma over there. You only rely on stoma over there. Okay, let's skip that. This is an important Rosh Hashanah piece, but I gotta skip it. There are two more areas where I wanted to do nafkaminas. I'll tell you the topics, and I'll just post it on the blog as opposed to the details. I wanted to apply this chakira to the concept in kachim called shina alav hakasav la'akev. By kachim, you have a special rule. It's another kachim rule. It's a menachos yotes. That whenever the Torah repeated itself by kachim, it meant to tell you that if you skip that rule, you ruin the whole thing. It's ma'akev. Whenever the Torah repeated itself somewhere in Kachim, if you're missing that piece of the puzzle, you've ruined it. The Torah repeated it to tell you that that's necessary. It's not just a mitzvah. It's necessary. I wanted to tie that into our chakira. I wanted to discuss whether or not is every faulty machshava that you have by a korban subsumed under the same isser of pigel, of lo yechashev, or is it, no, some separate problem, not pigel. Is it a separate problem? Another one, I was going to tie this into our original debate of whether you need dibur or machshava. Like we had, remember the second shir? Is machshava alone enough to ruin something, or you need speech as well? I think that ties into our chakira also. And the last place I was going to tie it in, which maybe this is one of the most important discussions, it might mean that we talk about it at some point, is this is the most famous piece in the Brisker Rav on Kachim and in Svachim, and it's as follows. A machshava shelo lishma. When you have a machshava shelo lishma, does that posel or is it chisaron hechsher? What does that mean? Here's the difference. When I have my machshava shelo lishma, bad lishma thought by kachim, machshava shelo lishma, okay? Did I now posel? Did I make this korban, which was ostensibly good, did I now make it posel? Or is it that I'm just missing the key that makes it kosher? Sounds semantical, sounds the same. Him and Rav Elchanan Wasserman went back and forth, pages and pages and pages.
The question about what Lishma does in the first place.
Ah, very good. What does Lishma there do? That's the basic machlokas. What does Lishma there do? So maybe I'll just discuss a little bit. It might be too much Lishma already. I'll discuss it all in the blog on those pages, and you could see the Maor Makomos for future study. But that's as much as I think I basically want to do for now, at least for Lishma by Kachim, to review the basic idea. The basic idea is simple. We have a machlokas whether or not when we say stama lishma by kachim, is it because it's in the object or it's in the individual? Where we took it to the next level this week is we said it's both. There's both elements. There's an element in the korban that the lishma is in the animal, and there's an element that's in the individual. And those two levels affect the different levels of halacha in kachim and in zvachim and the different sugyas itself. Okay, let's stop there.
Okay.